Good morning. I'm going to be sharing my testimony this morning. It's not very long, but I'm thankful for it nonetheless. So I'm just going to start at the very beginning. I was born in Canada to my mother and father. I have a sister, a full sister, who I was raised with. I also have two half-brothers, but they were not in my home when I was growing up. My parents were not raised Christians or Christians when I was born. I don't know if they'd ever heard the gospel. When I was about 3 years old, we moved from Canada to Texas, where my mom's dad lived. So we moved to Alvarado, Texas, more specifically, and lived there for a long time, until I was about 11 years old. We lived in Alvarado for a few years before we moved to a little community called Blue Water Oaks, as many of you know that. And down the road from us was the Tates, specifically Deborah Tate. Oh, I don't want to start crying this early. So terrible. At first, we just knew the Tates just from being neighbors with them, and my mother was trying to convince her to babysit me and my sister, but she did not want to. But after a few years, she finally succeeded, and she began to babysit me and my sister. And she also was a very godly woman and shared the gospel with my parents, who then repented and at that time started to learn more, and we started going to church with the Tates. And so for many years, we went to church on and off with pretty much always wherever the Tates were going. Then we would go. We were never very faithful churchgoers, but if we got up in time on a Sunday, then we would go to church. I always enjoyed it. My sister always enjoyed it. Now looking back, it just wasn't ever taken very seriously, but it was something we did, you know, as a family for many years until we moved. When I was about 12, we moved to Joshua, so we moved away from Blue Water Oaks and away from the Tates and kind of our godly influence in our lives. But when I moved to Joshua, the Lord brought me a friend who was a Pentecostal Christian and was known in my school for loading her van up with every kid that wanted to come to church, and she would take them to church. And so I started going with her and my sister too, but mostly me. So still able to go to church and lots of other things. And so I did. And at that point, my parents weren't really going. They would always take me wherever I wanted to go and drop me off and pick me up, and were always fine with that. Turn away from Christ, like, in a vocal way of, you know, denying him anymore. It wasn't living. They weren't living for him. But I learned a lot going to a spirit-filled Pentecostal church, and then having my friend. We became best friends. We're still friends. Most of you know Crystal Jimenez now. And so her and her family and her mom did become friends with my mom and was able to minister to my mom as well. When I was 13, I think, I'm pretty sure I was 13, my parents got a divorce, but again, they still would take us to church. If I was with my dad, he'd take me. If we were with my mom, then she'd take us, and so I continued to go, and I wanted to go all the time to things on Saturdays, Sundays. They would have youth rallies all the time, everywhere, this church was a pretty big church. And so I would go, and like I said, I enjoyed going. When I was probably 13 or 14, I guess, my dad he was living with a woman, and for some reason we started going back to church where the Tates went at a small church in Alvarado, and so we would drive all the way over there. And Jason was the youth pastor, and of course Debbie was there. Thankfully, the Tates were always in our lives, just kind of pulling us. I don't know, my parents had that connection where they just would keep coming back to them when they needed them. So at that time, my dad definitely needed people, friends, and so we started going back to church, like I said, with them, and through weird circumstances, I guess, Jason was the youth pastor at the church, and so we started going pretty much Wednesdays and Sundays with my dad, and so that's when I really started for myself kind of thinking about things of the Lord in a more serious way. Jason was speaking some things that people thought were weird, just extreme. People thought were extreme about modesty, dating, entertainment, just living for the Lord fully to teenagers in a public school who all needed to hear it, but it just wasn't the normal thing, even coming from my friend's Spirit-filled Pentecostal church where they were praying for me to have tongues every service that I was in there, which I never did, unfortunately, but it wasn't for lack of their trying. So in my mind, I like rules. They're a comfort to me. And if I know, if I'm convinced that something is right, then it's very comfortable for me to just decide that and stay kind of on that course. And so I was very interested in everything that Jason was speaking, and just that if they were the things of God, and they made a lot of sense to me, that things that he was saying was God honoring. I could see everything that he was saying. So but a little while after that, a bunch of families left that church, and we started a home church where Jason was now the pastor. And I'm not sure why things got kind of twisted, but my mom is actually the one that started attending that church, not my dad. He didn't come at all, and then for some reason my mom, I don't really remember why, but she was the one now to come, and it was just at Debbie's house, and we would all meet in the front yard, and so that's what we started doing with her. And during that time, when Jason was my pastor still, not my anything else at all, or even a thought of that, he gave me and my sister both a book, because we were two young people in his church from his old youth. And anyway, he just felt led to give us both these books. My sister hates to read. She still hates to read. She is very, very smart, went to college, we were always in the same school or the same classes, even though she was a year below me. She was just always so, so smart. Anyway, but hates to read. She just hates it, which horrifies my children because they just don't understand why their AJ does not like to read. But needless to say, she did not read hers. But I've always been a reader, and so I read mine very quickly. And it was, I'm sure most of you have heard of it, it was called I Kiss Dating Goodbye by Joshua Harris. And so now I'm probably, I think I was 15, again, in public school, which those of you who have been in public school know it's just a bit, it's its own little world, its whole own little world. It's such a silly thing to think that it's preparing you for the real world, because it's just not. So anyways, reading that book, it was just a big eye-opener for me that the Lord does care about those things. And because that was such a big part of my life, being a 15-year-old girl in high school with all of that going on, it made me start to think about other things besides just dating, that the Lord would have a way for all things, and that He knows a way for all things, and He cares about all things mostly. There's nothing He doesn't care about that we can just decide on our own that it's okay to do it this way because He doesn't care. And so that was kind of the first step to me through this book of just really realizing how much He does care about, and that going to church, which He obviously cares about, was not enough for me. That He had a way, and He has a good way of doing all things. And then he gave me, I don't know, there isn't a, like I said, I've been going to church for many, many years, and I'm sure that I had said the Lord's prayed to the Lord for my salvation at some point, maybe more than once, going to a bunch of revivals and youth things and all those type of things. I'm sure that I did that more than one time. There was not a day for me that I just know it was, I very much think of it as a process, that year of Him just becoming more and more real to me. And He absolutely gave me a desire to live my life that way, which is thinking that He cares about everything and knowing that He has a way of doing everything. He gave me that desire in my heart. And so, not to say I didn't make mistakes after that, but it was very clear to me, and I was very thankful for it. And it was very clear to me that before, church was something that I did. I know some of you have heard me say this before. It took me a few years to really realize it, but, you know, some people, children, you know, they have their different interests, sports or video games or lots of different things, I guess, anything that they can be interested in, different clubs at school, stuff like that. For me, going to church was my thing. That's what I like to do. That's where I felt comfortable because I did not like to be in trouble. I did not like to do things that might possibly get me in trouble. But none of that mattered if my heart still wasn't right. And I'm so thankful that I'm thankful that I didn't have to suffer through things maybe that other people have to go through. I am very thankful for that. But I'm also thankful that the Lord didn't leave me blinded by my own goodness for trying to be good, or that He still opened my eyes, that I was still not seeing, you know. Even being in church, even being what everyone would look at from the outside as good and whatever, whatever they saw, I'm just thankful that He didn't leave me there, that He showed me and truly, truly opened my eyes. So as I'm reading through the Psalms right now, and right after I decided, for myself, that I was going to share my testimony, I was reading in Psalm 34. So I thought it would be a good way. It kind of sums up the Lord in my life, I feel like, and especially over the last 16 years, what He's continued to do, which is just amazing. Even me being up here is amazing. Definitely the Lord. When I first got saved in high school, we had a little, when I first got serious about the Lord and got saved in high school, we had a little group that would meet before school with my friend, Crystal. And one week I was elected to teach, and whew, it was a lot harder than this right now. And so the Lord is just so good. Anyways, it's Psalm 34, verses 8 and 9. It says, and I'll try to. It's done good so far. We'll see if I can get through this part. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to them, to those who fear Him. Or I know want, another word is lack. There's no lack for those that fear him. And I've definitely tasted and seen that he's good in all things. And I do not have any lack. Nor do I think I ever will, as long as I have him. So.
Hey.